Today, on Rainbow Country, the book launch for Cuarenta y Nueve, 49, honoring the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. Plus, music from LGBT recording artists. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, we all have a story to tell. And it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. Now, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter. I'm a recording artist. Get social. Get interactive. Let's connect on social media. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Do you want to be on this show? Do you want me to feature your music? Do you have a business, a project that's coming up and you want some radio airtime? Send me an email. mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So, this is episode 60. On today's show, I am spotlighting the book launch for a book called Cuarenta y Nueve, 49, honoring the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting that happened in Orlando, Florida. The book comes out September the 12th, and it'll be available at your favorite bookstore, including here in Toronto, Glad Day Bookshop. So the book launch happened at Glad Day Bookshop, and the book is the brainchild of Canadian author Joey Lamar, and Joey Lamar has been a guest on the show. You can go to my website, marktara.com, and find the archives banner, and you will find her past episode. So the book, Cuarenta y Nueve, features 49 contributors. And during the book launch, I chatted with four individuals. So we'll hear from four contributors. We'll hear from Police Constable Daniel Botno, photographer and the designer of the cover for Cuarenta y Nueve, Angel Torres, Canadian actress Joanne Vanicola. And we'll also chat with, of course, Joey Lamar. Plus, music from LGBT recording artists. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Y Nueve, 49, a book that's coming out in September. And the book was basically put together by Joey Lamar, who's joining me now. Joey Lamar, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about how you put this book, you brokered this book. Talk to me about that aspect.
Well, after the tragedy in Orlando, the Pulse tragedy, where we lost 49 victims, my original thought was to hunker down and write 49 poems to be able to relieve myself of everything that I was feeling.
Okay.
It affected everything that I am. I lived in Orlando for 10 years, so I was part of that community. I partied at Pulse.
So you've actually been to that nightclub?
Oh, many times.
Really?
Many, many times.
Okay.
It was my club of choice. I took my wife there on one of our first dates. I'm Puerto Rican, and the majority of the people killed were Puerto Rican because it was Latin night. And then I lost a friend amongst the 49 victims.
Really? So this hits home.
So it hit home on every level.
Right.
And so I thought to be able to... kind of self-therapy, you know, I'll write a book, I'll write poems for every single one of the victims. But when I started it, I realized it's going to drain me completely, and it's only going to be me, and I'm not the full LGBT community.
Right.
I'm just L. So I reached out. I'm surrounded by so much talent here in Toronto. My friends are, they're amazing, right?
Right.
They're writers and they're poets and they're artists and they're photographers and they're singers and it runs the gamut. And so I thought I'll just, you know, put a little thought out there and see how they respond. And if they respond well, then, you know, we can move forward with it. And it was overwhelming.
Right.
I had much more than 49 people. I wanted to keep it to 49 artists for 49 victims.
Right.
But the response was overwhelming. They're not just talented people here in the community. They are also very loving people. And it showed. They responded. Now, wrangling them for all of the contributions and everything, that's difficult. That's my job. But they are amazing with what they've contributed to the book. It's going to be magical.
So the cover for the book has the images of the people that passed on, the 49 individuals.
Yeah, the cover itself has 49 candles, but we do include the pictures inside the book.
Okay.
Not on the cover.
Okay,
right?
Okay. So how did you have to contact the families? How did that come about?
The publishers did that.
Okay. Who's the publisher for this?
We have two publishers. We have Dreams Publishing, who has been the power behind my novels and memoirs.
Okay.
And then they decided, since we have all of these artists coming out of Toronto, we should have a Toronto publishing company behind us as well, because Dreams is out of New York. And so they picked up Tellwell Talent as a cooperative force.
Okay.
And Tellwell Talent is usually for self-publishing, but together both publishing companies are pouring more than $15,000 into doing this for the victims.
Right.
And all of the proceeds do not go to the publisher or any one of us. They actually go to two very important charities in the States that we hope will prevent this from happening again.
Right. And what charities are there, do you know?
The first one is Pride School Atlanta,
okay,
which is an LGBTQ++ school in Atlanta, the first of its kind.
Okay.
Its headmaster and the person who runs it and the founder is a transgender male who's just amazing. He was one of the first, they were one of the first schools to put my books in their library and curriculum.
Real Mambo Lips and Salsa Hips?
Not Salsa Hips, because it's not for children, but...
Mambo Lips?
Mambo Lips, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Yeah. So, and I think what they do is so important. They support children from our community at a very young age and put them all the way through to high school.
Okay.
And so they send out kids from our community that are confident, that know who they are, that are authentic, and they're protected in this school environment too. There's no bullying. And just think about how healthy that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, I think, hate is based, is fear-based. And you know, what happened in Orlando was definitely a hate crime. And I want to give back to the community through these children so that they come into the world not fearing the world and the hate and the, what they're going to face. They've gone through their schooling being very supported and confident and intelligent kids now, right?
Now, you're from America. You live there. And you were just saying that you lived in Orlando. You've been to the Pulse nightclub. Did you ever foresee anything like this happening?
No.
In Orlando?
No. And Pulse, the club itself, is a very welcoming space.
Okay.
It wasn't just an LGBT club. Mm-hmm. A lot of straight people go to that club. Just, you know, people who are comfortable, who are allies.
Right.
A lot of Latinos go. I mean, it's multicultural. It's a big, happy space. And it hit hard because of that. That's another reason that I needed to do something.
Right.
Because I've been there and I know what a jovial place it is.
Right.
What a healthy place it is
right.
to party.
Right.
Like many of the clubs here in Toronto.
Just something random.
Yeah. These people wouldn't
wow.
hurt a fly. Right?
Wow.
No, you know, here's another thing people should really realize. Florida is a gun state and you can carry a gun. Not one person, there were 49 victims and 53 injured survivors. Not one of those people was carrying a gun or retaliated. They had to wait for the police. That says a lot. You have over 100 people in a club not thinking about anything but being authentic and having a good time. And they had they had the ability to carry guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gun state.
Right.
But that's not their style. We're people of love.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, 49, what was your favorite aspect of putting this project together?
I think reading some of the works of the contributors, mm-hmm. they're amazing. They're all depictions of love and light and kindness. And some of them are written about their own grief with the situation.
Right.
But they're not morose. They're not dark. They're filled with hope. Too. And I, you know, something that was very sad has been the catalyst for people in this community to rise. And it's evident in those writings, in those pictures, in the artwork that some of the artists themselves contributed. These are people that are so used to coming out of the ashes that the book reflects that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was your favorite aspect.
That's my favorite aspect.
What was the hardest aspect?
It's still hard to deal with. It's only a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I work with the publishers, who, by the way, every time they read something and they call me and they're putting something together, they cry.
Mm.
So, and I was saying it outside. I always have to tell them, you cannot call me and cry. This will be too difficult for us to put together. So I think because it's still fresh,
mm-hmm.
because I still... know the fear that those, because I visited that club and I partied in that
yes.
club, I knew the exits.
Okay.
I knew how dark and scary it would be
right.
if something like that happened. And I still to this day, and I'm sure it's some little form of PTSD, imagine the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows they're going to die. That's a given, right? The minute we're born, we're dying.
Right.
But nobody wants to go in that kind of fear.
Right.
Nobody wants
right.
to go in that kind of fear. That's horrific, right? And it was long. It was drawn out. It was hours and hours.
Right.
You know, people hid. My friend who passed away was there with her sons. Both of her sons were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away because she told her son to put her body on top of his.
Wow.
And this is documented. He's been interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you have to think about how horrible that is. She was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was injured.
Mm-hmm.
The bullets came through her.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't pass away. So she protected him, you know, mm-hmm. to her death, like
literally.
Any mother would, literally. You know?
Wow.
Those things kind of haunt me. So that's still sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel really confident about what we're doing. I think it's a great homage and tribute to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that in perpetuity it'll give to the two charities that we're giving all the proceeds to.
Right.
And, you know, leave a legacy for everybody who's contributed.
So this book comes out in September.
Yes.
How will people be able to get it?
Well, we're going to have a website for the book itself, so you'll be able to purchase it there as
okay.
well. It'll be online. We'll have it in all the bookstores, so all the American ones, which are Barnes & Noble's,
okay.
Chapters here, Indigo here, and of course, Glad Day Bookshop.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. It'll be available everywhere.
Joey Lamar, thanks for being on the show. Cuarenta y nueve.
You say that very well.
Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Hi guys, this is Mika Barnes, very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Once again, I am here at Glad Day Bookshop covering the launch of a book dedicated to the 49 people that lost their lives in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, 49. And I'm joined by someone that I've known for a while. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud, actually, to have her on my show. Joanne Vanicola, welcome.
Thank you. I'm proud to be on the show. I'm proud to sit here with you after all these years.
So let's talk about 49. You have a piece in the book.
Yes, I'm one of the 49 artists.
If you can, in a nutshell, give us a flavor of what your piece is about.
My piece is more a look at the cultural, political sort of climate that allows for somebody who is not only homophobic, but probably had a lot of internalized homophobia.
Right.
Who was able to pick up a gun because they're accessible.
Yeah.
And plan a mass murder because he's so full of that much hatred around himself and around queer people.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of hatred that would take him to that place, and what are we doing culturally
mm-hmm.
that allows for that to happen, and how can we change this, and how do we protect our community?
Right.
It's more of an emotional piece. It's like a reality check about what's happening with our lives.
And okay.
We all only had a few pages to,
yeah,
to
three,
be
I
able
understand.
To...
Yeah.
To speak to the issues, I think mm-hmm. some of the pieces are likely creative. Some of them are visual. Some of them are poetic. Some of them are illustration.
And yours is political.
Mine is a written piece. It's mm-hmm. 2 pages long, and it really is about the politic and the heart and how we deal with violence culturally.
And how did you get involved with this? Do you know Joan Lamar?
I do. I've met her only recently.
Okay.
And then it was about a year ago, maybe, not even. And then I was asked if I wanted to participate.
Right.
And Antoine, I think I did a piece in Buzz magazine.
Yes, you
wanted
the cover.
Yes.
Cover girl.
Yeah, I was a cover. Oh, well,
cover
I've
girl,
never been
Joanne
a cover girl.
Vanicola.
Yes, I was a cover girl. And then I met Antoine, and then I was asked if I wanted to put a piece in this, and I really wanted to. I mean, I 100%, I would have done one page, I would have done 50 pages, 200 pages, whatever they wanted, I would have volunteered a piece just to be part of this, because I think it matters.
So when this shooting happened, how did it affect you when it first happened? What went through your mind?
Well, unfortunately, it's not the first mass shooting that I've ever... we've all experienced and understand what's happening with mass shootings these days, but I remember, you may remember, I'm not sure, what happened on December 6, 89, with the 14 women, the Montreal Massacre. I knew one of those girls who... young women who was murdered. And I think that was the beginning for me in my early 20s of dealing with mass violence and gun shootings and hatred against women, against LGBTQ people, against anyone different and beautiful and black or brown or queer, female, really, all of us that aren't, you know, mostly heterosexual white people. And I think this one really hurt, like, in a way that I just couldn't stop the grief. I was so overcome with grief, and all I could do was come to Church Street that night, and along with everyone else who showed up in droves and took part in the vigil. And
at 519?
Yeah, were you there? Yeah.
I wasn't there physically, but the weird thing is I streamed it live, because they did that.
So
I watched it that way.
And there were a lot of people there, like the mayor was there, and
Kristen Wong was there, and with her partner,
lots of people, lots of people, and I was just crushed. Really, I just, every time I hear about any LGBTQ person being attacked, slaughtered, murdered, raped, assaulted, even called a name, I feel a dagger, like almost in my own heart. I think it's just the level of hatred against who we are is just unfathomable. I just don't understand it, you know, that people could hurt people so badly and hate us so badly that it's almost like there's no consciousness, there's no empathy, there's no anything. It just, I don't understand people, I guess.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I would love to be able to not be murdered in the process, but to be able to have someone like that, a homophobic person, be able to come on here and be able to get their side. Is it because of upbringing? Is it, you know, do you see what I'm what I'm getting at? Be able to hear from them how they see the gay community, how they see, you know, love, and why they may not be able to get it. You know, is it because of religion? Is it because God said it's a sin or whatever, right? And be able to have that conversation, because I think it's important to be able to get what the other side is saying and thinking. It's important for us to understand that.
I think it is, if we're ever going to affect change and get to a place, if we're lucky enough to survive, this planet hangs on. But I agree. I think all intersectional issues really are important. You can't really, you know, just have one around queer people and not talk about women, or not talk about black queer people. I think, like, we're coming to a point where we really have to deal with intersectional issues and marginalization and poverty and religion and all of these things. Because if we don't look at all of the things together, I mean, equity itself is never going to be achieved. I mean, I know that's the goal, and it's lofty, and it's going to take a long time, because we're slow as people. And of course, you know, we need governments and education and funding to be able to support young people and change minds. But until we get there, I think it matters to speak with people who are indeed hateful or homophobic, or who are racist or who are sexist, and to not just say F you, but okay, so why? And do you know people? Do you understand, you know, why you think that way? Why you believe that? And why do you think that you're so better than? And what is it that allows you to think that you're, you know, that that's okay, that your level of hatred or narcissism or whatever the words are, racism, sexism, homophobia, is okay?
Yeah, because it's not.
But I don't know that a lot of people, if you talk to them in depth, would be able to have a rational conversation to explain it away.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. So I haven't found the right people yet. You know, but I'm looking. I am seriously looking to be able to find people that can hopefully articulate why they may feel fear or hate. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
Do you think religion is a big part of it? I I think so. In most religions, even. I mean, it's not just Christian or Catholic or whatever. I think most religions have a homophobic and sexist sort of reality. But I don't think it's based on anything that has to do with some god or deity. Or I think it has to do with a human sort of...
oppression.
So, and but I don't, unless you're willing to think deeply and think critically and care about humanity and people who are different than you, then you may not get to that place of understanding.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really hard to talk to people who are homophobic or racist or sexist and have that conversation, I think, unless they're really willing to have an honest discussion.
Yeah. Joanne Vanicola. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to your piece in Cuarenta y Nueve, 49. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
They're calling you to
the
stage.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to go. Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Liberty Silver, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Once again, I am covering a live event. I am here at the book launch for Joey Lamar's book that is in honor of the Orlando shooting that happened in 2016. And the book is called Cuarenta y Nueve, 49. And I'm here with Angel Torres, who is a graphic designer, photographer, web designer. And Angel, you created the cover for... the book, I understand. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Cuarenta y Nueve. Why did you want to get involved with this particular project?
I love the idea as an homage in memory of those poor innocent lives lost there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw a poster with all the faces, which I hadn't seen since last year. They were all so young and... beautiful souls, you know, it's in the prime of their lives.
Yeah.
It's so tragic, horrific, and I thought, wow, why would you not want to get involved with something like this, you know?
So how did you meet Joey Lamar, who basically put this book together?
Oh, she's such a beautiful, inspiring soul. I have so much love and respect for this lady. Through the Inspire Awards, yes. Through helping them as photographer on those assignments.
Okay.
I had the privilege of meeting her there. And we've been growing a relationship. And then on Facebook, too.
So you did the cover of the book.
That's right.
You designed the cover.
Yes.
So describe the cover of the book, if you can, for me and the listeners.
It is... it is one main prominent... candle in the foreground with like a long flame to it, and then in the background there's blurred candles which are supposed to represent the souls of the lives lost,
right?
And then the beyond all the candles is a black background, and in the blackness there is a like a circular rainbow pattern, like a spectrum of light emanating from the center of the candle, you know, to symbolize the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
And yes, and that's it. Oh, and the font I chose, Joey really gravitated to it because it's sort of like a typewriter style.
Okay.
So it gave it sort of a like a murder novel type of feel, we thought.
Okay.
You know. But I quite like the way it turned out, and I've been getting such positive feedback on it, including from Jack, her New York publisher. So making nice contacts there. Very nice man as well.
So you did the design of the cover.
Yes.
Did you also have anything to do with the writing at all? Did you contribute a story or anything? Or?
Yes. Okay. So basically the theme of the book is 49, which is 49. So there were 49 victims. And so what Joey thought to do was to gather 49 contributors, 49 artists, to contribute their writing, their art, design, anything they wanted to, in honor of the 49 lives lost.
Right.
And each contributor got 3 pages to fill up of their content of their choice.
Right.
So I, as well as doing the cover, I also got 3 pages inside the book. So I'm really excited to see what the other contributors put together and to see it all, you know, come together in the end. Will be beautiful.
So if you can, not necessarily giving it all away, if can you, like, in a nutshell, encapsulate what your 3 pages basically encompasses in a nutshell?
Yes. I wanted it clearly to be, what's the word, related to the theme of an homage and memory. And so I used a lot of my photography. And I also got one of my poems in there.
So you also have imagery in the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if I should give this one. I had this one beautiful. It's a photograph that I took in Paris.
Okay.
And
let's leave it at that. It's a photograph you took in Paris.
But it's very symbolic, and I stylized the colors of it and gave it a cool border edge, and I wrote some nice words of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a full page direct homage to them.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, Angel Torres, I have to say thank you for your work on this on this this book, 49.
My pleasure.
Am I saying that right?
That's perfect, hon.
And thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, sweetie. Okay.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
Joining me now is Police Constable Daniel Bodno. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you're also a part of the LGBTQ liaison.
I am the LGBTQ liaison for the Toronto Police Service.
You are.
I am.
What does that involve?
What doesn't it involve these days?
Okay.
It's a little bit of everything, from a lot of community outreach and bridge building and education, not only within our own service around the community, but also within the community around our service. You name it, I kind of do it. I do assist with some investigations. But the main focus, the main purpose is just to really help to bridge that divide, perhaps, that we have within the community and in our service. But also, I'm basically the direct line to perhaps the chief, should there be a need for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you also have a piece in the book that's in tribute to the 49 that passed away in Orlando at the Pulse shooting. The book is called 49, and you're on there. You're in there.
I am.
You're a contributor.
I am.
So if you can, in a nutshell, what is your piece about?
Well, Joey Lamar reached out to me a while back, and at the time she reached out to me, I was in a little bit of chaos, so I didn't really have time to do it. And unfortunately, the way everything's working out, she reapproached me, and she thought it was vitally important that somebody from the policing world kind of be involved in it, based on the reality is that not only did it affect the community at large, but being a police officer, I can actually honestly tell you that the effect that it had on my colleagues in Orlando was huge. I'm good friends with the LGBTQ liaison in Orlando, and that's the first person I reached out to the day after. And all he could muster to say in an email was that they were coping. So I'm going to be speaking to just being a first responder, to be honest with you, and how not only am I part of the community, but I'm also part of the policing community and the effects that that has, right? I think about them every day, and I'm sure as the year came around to the anniversary, still had the same effects. As first responders, we signed up for the job to serve and protect, and I can tell you that there was no hesitation on the part of my colleagues. That's what exactly we did. We signed up, we ran in, there was no hesitation. Still has its effects, though, on first responders responding to that. And I've seen some video footage from body cameras from police officers in Orlando. And I think, aside from still hearing the gunshots, there was also, and I'm sure you've seen it on social media, the telephones that were still ringing. Family members looking for family members. And the officers couldn't do anything about that, right? So, yeah, I'm not going to be speaking to that in great detail, but just the fact, the effect of what that has on being part of the LGBTQ community, but also being part of law enforcement.
So, as a first responder, what goes through your mind when you get a call for a situation like that? What goes through your mind?
I think a little bit of everything. What are we going to see? Are we going to be there quick enough? Who can we help? Unfortunately, where's the suspect, right? Everybody's safety is number one priority. Saving lives is number one priority. There's a whole plethora, but that goes, unfortunately, within our job. That happens a lot, especially being from a big city such as Toronto. And I've always felt that if I don't assume the worst going in, I shouldn't be on the job anymore, right? 9 times out of 10, it doesn't turn out that way. But if we get complacent, right, that's cause for concern. So I think there's a lot of difference, feelings and emotions going through it, going into a call like that. But at the end of it, as much as we want everybody to get home safe in that space, us as police officers want to go home to our families as well.
And how long have you been a police officer?
18 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been in this position for about 7 years now.
And knock on wood, nothing like that has ever happened here.
I've seen tragedy, but nothing to that scale, yeah, by any means. But being in the policing family, regardless of where you work and where you're from, we really are a family.
Do you guys all connect when something like this does happen?
We try to. Okay. I was recently in a conference in Amsterdam, and there was 265 delegates, and it was a law enforcement criminal justice conference. And there was 26 countries represented. And the bond that we have is pretty incredible. And when something like this happens, we do a check-in, right? Everything happening in the world, even in Europe right now, everybody's doing a check-in, right? And then you narrow that down even more when you're part of the community that it affects the most. I mean, police officers are part of the community regardless of where you work. But when you actually identify within that community, I think it even brings it to another level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you looking forward to the book when it comes out in September?
I am. I mean, the people that were here tonight, the words that they shared, it was pretty moving to hear. New faces, new friends were met and made tonight. And I'm sure it's been a labor of love for Joey and who else is behind it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it hasn't been easy, right? But I'm definitely looking forward to it, for sure.
Well, Daniel Botno, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the show. And
thank
thanks
you,
for
Mark.
Being a contributor to 49. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
from an old friend that said, hey, how you doing? Whoa, just the other day I was thinking about you when I heard his voice. He sounded kind of weary and I knew right then trouble was here to stay. It's times like this. These words so I can sing to you in times like this, in times like this. And I rack my brain to think of all the ways I pray for you in times like this, times like this. Come drink your strength from friends and family in times like this, and embrace the love that you once gave to me for times like this, times like this. We're always asking why times like this. Our tears will not subside. Remember this. And your spirit is alive, and your music will never die. It's times like this. Times like this. Oh, my friend, my beautiful friend, you will be missed. Yeah, yeah. It's times like this.
Welcome back. You're listening to Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show giving voice to the LGBT community, and I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. So that was my spotlight on the tribute book Cuarenta y Nueve, 49, that comes out September the 12th, available at your favorite bookstore, including Glad Day Bookshop here in Toronto and Toronto's Gay Village. And at the end there, we heard Lorraine Zagato's Times Like This from her current record, Invincible Decency. When I return, some more music. Culture Club. Stay with me.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Victims we know so well, they shine in your eyes when they kiss and tell. Strange places we never see, but you're always there, like a ghost in my dream. And I keep on telling you, please don't do the things you do. When you do those things, pull my puppet strings, have the strangers fight for you. We love and we never tell what places our hearts in the wishing well. Love leads us into the stream, and it sink or swim like it's always been. And I keep on loving you, it's the only thing to do. When the angel sings, there are greater things. Can I give them all to you? Ooh. Oh. Mm. Pull the strings of emotion. Take a ride into unknown pleasure. Feel like a child on a dark night, wishing there was some kind of heaven. I could be warm with you smiling. Put out your hand for a while. The victims, we know them so well. So well. We'll be right back.
notices me. I carry on quietly until the day I can figure it out, baby. I wanna figure you out, baby. Please, I'm mistaking. My time is counting. I'm feeling funny. My fingers tingling. Touch me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
And welcome back. We just heard in that musical set, we heard Culture Club. Great track. I think appropriate for this episode, Victims, in honor of. And just now we heard Canadian recording artist Ian Mannix, Hybrid. Don't forget, let's get social. Let's get interactive on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Get in touch with me. Do you want to be on the show? Are you a recording artist and you're looking for radio airplay, literally radio airplay? Get in touch with me at Mark Tara Music, or send me an email, mark@marktara.com. I will play your music. And maybe you have a an ally of the LGBT community and you have a business that you want to get some promotion, get in touch with me. It's all good. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And like I said, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
Dance.